And welcome to another episode of Better Convo. I'm your host, Nadia Ike. I hope you are having a lovely Sunday as I am today. Today, I'm very excited. And as you can see, I have my kente on for a special reason, because today's episode is a Ghana takeover, 233 to the world. For those that don't already know, I'm actually a triple jumper for Team Ghana, and I am joined here by my teammate and 2019 African champion, Martin Owusu-Entry. Martin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being here. We're excited to have you here. I'm excited to see a familiar face. But before we dive into the session, why don't you just give, you know, viewers who don't know much about you a little bit of your background, where you're from in Ghana, and, you know, your journey, a little bit of your journey.
Okay, so as Nadia said, my teammate said, I'm Martin Owusu-Entry. I'm a sprinter for Ghana. They're 100 meters and 200 meters. That's my events. Sometimes I do the 400, but my journey's been very great. I started track in high school in Ghana, Apukuwari school, and I went to university for 2 years in Ghana. Then I transferred to the U.S. Coppin State University for my undergrad. So that's pretty much about me.
Okay, and so before we dive into the session, I have to talk about this, right? Mm-hmm. Very few times people get to see Ghana on the big stage and get to see Ghana winning on the big stage, right? And for you, you were part of that historic 4x100 meter win that we had in 2019 at the African Championship, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said, that was a historic win for us. So for those that, once again, don't really know about that win, kind of talk us through what the mindset was, what the energy was going into that competition, and you know, how it felt to win.
It's been a long time coming. Like we've been trying to structure and put together a good 4x1 for a minute, but it never really like panned out. But 2019, all the chips just came together, and it was very good because everybody was in shape pretty much. And when we're kids, we used to watch Aziz Zachary, Kristen Ntian, Leo Moss Mills. Like, we heard about them. We watched them. I think it was 2003 when they beat Nigeria at the African Championship. So, like, it was kind of like we need to, like, emulate what they did. So everybody, like, put their mind to it, and then we just prayed to God, and it happened. So it was kind of like not a sweet revenge, but it was kind of like a stepping stone to tell the world that Ghana has talent. And if we come together and manage the talents, we can compete like with the best in the world.
So did you, going into this competition, did you know you guys were going to win? Did you know you guys were going to win? Did you think you guys were the underdog? Or you were
technically, we knew on paper we're the underdogs because let's face the facts. Nigeria had a better team in terms of like individual athletes. Like, they had better times. Someone winning the 100 meters in 9.95. Someone running like 19 and 9 seconds in the NCAA championship. So like, on paper, we weren't the favorite. But like, in terms of charisma and the energy we brought to the field, like the track, we knew we had it in us.
Okay. I'm personally always conflicted in this type of Nigeria-Ghana conversation because I'm born and raised in Ghana, compete for Ghana. But I'm also Nigerian, and by my name, you can tell that I'm Nigerian. So every time this sort of rivalry happens, I'm just kind of in the middle and really don't know, you know, what side to pick. Well, I do know what side to pick. But beyond that, what do you think was that edge that you guys had over Nigeria? Yes, you said charisma. And we have the video on replay right now. Yes, you said charisma. And, you know, on paper, they look better. But what was that edge do you think that you guys had over Team Nigeria?
I don't really know much about the Nigerian camp, but I'll talk for my team. We had togetherness, if that makes sense. A relay is supposed to be like a well-oiled machine. Like, it's supposed to move as one unit. I feel like the Ghana team, that this particular team, is like well gelled together. Like, there was no like separation. We go to the cafeteria together after practice. We in each other's room, we talking, we playing video games. So I feel like that chemistry and that like brotherhood made us feel like one unit. It didn't feel like we're running a 4x1. It felt like it was just like Ghana running. It was like a togetherness. So I feel like probably that's the advantage we had over the Nigerians.
Right. And I know, I mean, from being on the team, I know everyone on the team trains in different locations. And so for this particular meet, did you guys have a training camp prior to that? Like, were you guys together prior to, you know, being at the competition, or it was just at the competition that you guys kind of worked together?
Not really. We're not. But as you can see, Sean is from London.
Yeah.
He was in Ghana at that time. Joe was in Baltimore and I was in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with Joe and I is we've been teammates since for a minute. So we've been like training on the Coppin State relay for a minute. So we didn't really need much like practice because it was like muscle memory. But so what I did was before the games, I came to Baltimore, I came to Maryland to train with Joe for a minute, but we didn't really work on like baton passes. So I'd say we trained for like 4 days, like at Morocco, and we just got it together and did it.
Okay. And what was the handoff sequence? It went from Sean
to Benjamin Azamati to me to Joe.
Okay. And so basically you and Joe had that, you've already done this a little bit more.
Yep.
Kind of had it. And it seems like that seemed to be like the turning point between that exchange where you guys kind of took over. But that's really exciting. I was very proud of you guys.
Thank you.
But you know, talking as more through moments like that, right? My African Championship win in 2016, you guys in 2019. What do you think Ghana needs to do to continue to cultivate that talent and have us on that big stage where we're winning medals beyond the African continent? What do you think needs to happen in Ghana?
I feel like you can vouch for me that Ghana has a lot of talents,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, we need to invest in the talents, because if you don't invest in something, you don't expect to get dividends or profit from it. You need to put like effort, resources, time, money into it. I feel like if we have like training, like proper training camps and get together, like the training camp is essential, because in order for a team to gel, like you need to be around each other, train together, feed off each other's vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that Ghana needs to just invest and like try and ship resources from other like sports to track and field and like spread it out, because we have the talent. We just need resources. We can do it on our own.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And last episode, Coach Somo Koena was here. And the question that I was asking him was, it seems like South Africa has been able to figure it out, you know, really build a powerhouse of athletes and talent that's consistently happening. And one of his points was that, you know, they've one invested into that, but also there's a certain element of engagement, right? And so they have the athletes participating in the, you know, cultivating of new talent, participating in the recruitment of new talent, really not only to make sure that the coaching is good, but also to inspire the younger people to, you know, participate as well. And so, I mean, I guess, yes, investment is one of them, but if there's one sort of investment that you would say Ghana needs to do, that's feasible now, what do you think that would be?
I'd say preparing the next generation and coaches, because we have wonderful coaches in Ghana, but like this slight detail, like attention to details, I feel like they're missing. So if most of the coaches take special like coaching courses to sharpen up their already like great, wonderful skill, it will be great for the next generation. That way there's no like bridge in between like this generation of sprinters or like athletes in general versus the next athletes in like high school or even middle school. Like there'll be a continuation of great athletes coming out of Ghana year by year, year by year.
Right. And so what do you think was the defining factor for you? Because you came out of that, you trained in Ghana, you went to high school in Ghana, and what do you think that defining factor was in your
With me, I'd like doing a lot of research. Like when I was in Ghana, I didn't really like track. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't really like track. I used to play basketball, but when I actually like started like running fast, I was like, oh, maybe I could do this proper. So what I used to do is I'd be on YouTube watching like, oh, what should athletes eat? Like I'll be researching like protein. Well, what, like how much calories do I need as an athlete versus like my height, my weight, and all those like little stuff. I like research. So I used to be on Google, YouTube, and I feel like if the athletes back home have that, they have like coaches that notice like a little bit like I do, they could tell them from an early age. So by the time they get to where I was when I learned that, they'll be like already like getting it together better than I did. So I feel like what helped me personally was my ability to research and do stuff on my own. Like I'm looking like day and night. I'm in the evening before I go to sleep, I'm watching videos of like NCAA championships, Olympic finals and stuff like that, just so I can get the edge.
Right. And so it sounds like, you know, part of the lack of development is the ignorance to what's out there, right? Yeah. And yes, that is true. But one part of it is also the lack of access to what's out there, right? Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, you had access to the internet. You had access to be able to look on Google and YouTube and so on and so forth to set yourself up. But for people that don't have that access, is there a way that you think that is possible? And perhaps as someone who's been through it, is there a way that you could mentor the up and coming generation to do that if you are doing that now?
Yeah, that's when the coaches come into play. Like, let's say, for example, if these coaches know what I was lucky, fortunate enough to know, they could impact it towards, like, they could pass it down to the kids. What I usually do is sometimes people text me from Ghana saying, oh, Martin, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I tell them like, hey, I don't know it all, but in my experience, XYZ helps. So maybe you should talk to your coach about it and see if XYZ will help you. So that's pretty much it. But I feel like if the government the government invests into like coaching, because the talent is already there. All they need is a little bit push and also competition.
We
need like good competition, because I realized that in the NCAA, week in and week out, we competing against the very best. Sometimes you might pull up to a competition and you find out that you have like a world championship, a world championship winner in your heat. So it's like, I feel like that also helps you like get your mind right. So psychologically, you're ready to go at the next meet. Like, hey, I run against Usain Bolt or like Amy like Gatlin. I feel like next week, if I'm running by myself, I can like push my boundaries.
Yeah. And then that is a very crucial part in terms of the competition element, because track and field is not like, you know, basketball where you have to play a certain team or you have to, you know, win a certain game to go to the next level. For us, it's like any meet is anyone's fair game. Right. And you could compete against people that you would be in a final with at the World Championship. So you're always getting that practice and so on and so forth. And so for you, when you think about this year and this season with the Olympics being postponed, what are some of your goals and how is your training reshaped and, you know, to get you ready for that?
It's really reshaped a lot, because last year, 2020, was when I graduated from my master's, and I moved from Kentucky back to my old coach. So right now I was like actually working full time and training is different. But the good thing about this whole pandemic, it's not a good thing, but like I'll take the pros out of this is I get to work from home. So I don't have to sit in sit in the office seat all day and have my glutes tight. I can lay in bed, pull up the computer and like get my work in. And when I get it done, I can take a quick nap and hop back in, eat a snack and all that little stuff. So I feel like that helped me a lot. Other than that, I feel like if I was in the office, it would have been a little bit difficult for me to balance that.
And how do you think in terms of like now that you have a job, that something that you haven't done before, working and training, how do you think that's going to affect your performance this year?
Me personally, I don't think it should, because I'm mentally prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And I know I want something and I would go get it. So if I have to sneak into the gym like 9 p.m., 10 a.m., I'll do it.
Okay.
But I feel like the key factor is rest. That's what I struggle with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I'm able to get that, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that is the struggle for everyone and all of us that, you know, work full time. And for me, I've been doing this for 5 years, working and training at the same time. And so, I mean, the pandemic presents a different year for most people, and it presents an opportunity for people to balance the two, right? Yeah. But we're going to take a break. when we do come back, we're going to dive in a little bit more into your career and your career off the track and how you're balancing that and how we project the next phase of life is going to be for you. So we'll take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll dive right into that. Welcome back to Better Convo. I'm your host, Nadia Ike. If you're just joining us, we are joined here by African champion Martin Owusu Entry, my fellow Ghanaian teammate. Prior to the break, we were talking about Martin's journey as an athlete, the historic African championship win. And, you know, at this second half of the break, we're going to shift gears into focusing on his career, how he's training, and balancing that with work. So, Martin, as we were saying before the break, you're training and you're balancing that with, you know, a full-time job, right? Luckily for you, there's a pandemic, so you can work from home, right? And you're saying, you know, you feel like mentally you're ready to transition that. But since that hasn't been something that you've actually done before, what are some of the anticipated challenges do you think are going to come this year, given that you're working full-time and you're training full-time?
Sorry. I feel like the main thing would be scheduling. For example, if let's say I have a track meet, I need to let maybe my superiors know ahead of time. And then because of this whole pandemic, I know some of the track meets get canceled last minute, or like some get like pop up last minute. So I feel like that would be a difficult brace to cross when I get there.
Okay. And in terms of, you know, the job that you're doing, tell us a little bit more about that. What are you working on and your opportunity that you have now?
Okay. So it's a business operation analyst position at Aerotech. So pretty much it's more about like payrolls and stuff like that.
Okay. And how did you get this opportunity?
Through LinkedIn. I applied and I had an interview. I had a few lined up, but that wasn't really what I was trying to get. But I got it, so I was happy.
And in terms of, okay, so when you were in college, did you do any internships? Did you do anything along the lines of the job that you have now? Or you just kind of jumped into it after you graduated?
Yeah, I kind of jumped into it. Because of my, competitions, most of my competitions are, like, international competitions that during the summertime when some of my classmates used to take internships. So I personally never got an internship, and I wish I did, because it made a lot of stuff easier. So I advise like some of my younger athletes that, hey, if you get an internship, take it. Because that would have made a lot of like stuff easier for me to like pick up working in corporate America. But it's not bad. I just jumped into it.
Yeah, I think that's a real point that you're making, because I think for a lot of athletes, and what people don't know is like a lot of athletes who are in college don't really get the chance to do an internship in the summertime because most of us travel to compete. And so once you do jump into the working force, there's a bit of a learning curve. And then for those that don't jump into the working force until the end of their athletic career, it's an even bigger learning curve. And so for me, luckily, what happened is that, you know, while I was at Columbia, I did do internships in the fall, in the spring. So once I got into the working force, it was an easy transition for myself, right? And you seem to have a head start on it. Even though you didn't get the internship in college, you're still working now as an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say is the biggest challenge for other athletes that are competing professionally to really diversify what they're trying to do? So being more than an athlete, what do you think the biggest challenge is for a lot of athletes who are on the pro circuit?
Yeah, like I stated, I don't know about that, but I know most of the athletes in the pro circuit, like they'll just like be like me. They wouldn't really have had internship. So it's like, you can still get a job without an internship. It just depends on how convincing you are through the interview. That's how my mentor used to tell me. He said, hey, go into the interview and talk like you know what you're about. Talk like you know your worth. So I feel like it's also all about like how to brand yourself off the track as well as on the track. So if you can sell yourself to your employers, like how you do on the track, I feel like you should be good regardless.
Right, right. And I think that's a thing that a lot of athletes undersell, right? Is this fact, and we had this, I have this conversation every week with our guests, is this fact that athletes have a ton of transferable skills, right? Unlike any other thing that you do in life, you've experienced every possible emotion that anyone can experience, which is necessary for succeeding at anything that you do. You know what it's like to fail. You know, like, you know what it's like to be the best in the room. You know what it's like to be the worst in the room. Yeah. And you're able to go through that. And I think that that's so fundamental to success in anything that you do, because those range of experiences most people in their career don't even get to experience. And I think what's important is that for athletes to understand that you have those experiences. Yes, you may not have worked the internship, but that's invaluable to bring that to a corporation. And, you know, we need to lean more into those strengths, right? Mm-hmm. And so for you, I know you just mentioned that you have seems like we lost connection there. Martin, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Sorry. So as I was saying, yeah, so, you know, for you, you mentioned that you had a mentor and that kind of helped you. Is that really the fundamental part of being able to transition, is having that mentor? And from your perspective, how can athletes do that also effectively?
So my mentor is Dr. Christian Nsia. He was actually on the Ghana 4x1 relay that won, I think, 2003. And he transitioned from, like, on the track to off the track, like, really effortlessly. And I kind of, like, look up to him for that. So I have, like, conversation with him about track, about off the track. So I feel like if athletes could have that go-to person that has been there before, done that, and then you have an honest conversation with him, they would obviously tell you their mistakes so that way you can avoid it. So let's say, for example, somewhere down the line, when I get old and gray, young athletes can come to me like, hey, Martin, what mistakes did you do? That way I don't repeat it. And obviously I'll tell you, hey, I should have done this. I should have done that. And don't do this. Don't do that. And I feel like that would be easier. But for now, if any athletes is in the circuit, it's not too late. You can reach out to anybody that is like has been there and done that. They'll gladly open up and tell you what to do and what not to do. So.
Right. 100%. And I am a firm believer in connection and community and, you know, having a network, right? So even beyond the people that are in the sports, I think it's important to have people outside of the sport that can see the value that you bring to any organization, right? And so for me, I think that for every athlete, you should have, not even every athlete, just anyone in general, you should have 5 solid people in your back pocket that can vouch for you in any situation, that can either be a reference, that can either help you get a job, that can connect you to the right people. And I think oftentimes, I don't know, I've mentioned this before, I don't think it might be just track and field, but I do think that a lot of times in track, there's a certain level of pride that athletes have that prevents us from connecting with other people. Because when you go to the track meet, there are credible people at the track meets who are not athletes, but are doing other things. Yeah. There might be a producer there that's working on the streaming content. There might be a vendor there that's working on something, people that you can always just stop, connect with, have a conversation with, and see what that leads to. Because people bring so much experience to the table that we don't necessarily have. And I think it's important that we're constantly building those connections. And that's my big thing, right? And so in terms of for you, now that you're working this job, you're training, what do you think some of your goals are beyond the sport? So if we're looking at Martin like 5 years from now, what are some of the things that you're hoping to accomplish by then outside of the sport?
I'm trying to get my second master's in cybersecurity. I spoke with my mentor, and he was like, the way the pandemic is going, most of the stuff would move from like in-person communication to most likely online businesses and stuff like that. So he feels like he's projecting in the next 5 to 10 years, cybersecurity will be a big thing. So when he said that, I'm like, okay, can I apply for some programs? And I go into one, but I was trying to get an internship, a grad assistant position there, but I couldn't get it. So I told him like, hey, I go into the program, but I can't really pay for tuition. And he was like, that's fine, just defer and then work in like a corporate America job. That way, when you're done with the second master's, you have that work experience, which you never got from internship because you always run the track, and then you have a second degree. So by the time you're done with that, you put that together and life after track will be good. So that's my plan for now. Just work for now till I get into a grad assistant position that will pay for my second master's in cybersecurity. Then I take it for that while still running track.
So it seems like you have a perfect plan. But my question off of that plan is, what are you passionate about?
I'm passionate about life, just living it to the fullest and making the most of your talent and your ability, not only like on the track, but off the track as well. You can venture into like small businesses, learn new stuff. I like learning new stuff. So, yeah.
And so what do you think that your talent beyond the sport is?
I'd say bringing people together.
Okay. And so is there an opportunity that you can do that as a career?
I'll probably do that off the side, like to the side, but yes, probably go into like community outreach, talk to athletes, not only like track and field, but like athletes in general, how to like transition effortlessly through like the education. Cause I made some mistakes that I feel like I wouldn't want anybody to make them. So I'll try and work that. That wouldn't be like my main focus, but I'll definitely do that on the side.
Okay. Then the reason why I ask is because I think, once again, going back to the conversation, I think that there's a lot of opportunity out there to do a lot of incredible things that people don't tend to know about. And so I'm always a proponent of pushing people to think outside of the box as to what they want to do, right? And it doesn't have to be a textbook career, but I think that if you do have other aspirations that are aligned with the experiences that you've had as an athlete, even better, right? And so before we wrap up, I have few more questions and then we're going to wrap up. The next question I have is, in terms of training, so I'm assuming that you're funding your own training, right? With your work, right? And so how has that affected the way you're training? And what do you think would need to happen in terms of a corporate athlete sponsorship situation for you to be able to really, really leverage like the talent that you have and everything that you have? I've asked this question all the time because I do think that there's a space where corporate entities can get into partnerships with athletes that are more dynamic, right? That is not just Nike throwing money at you to work. Maybe the company that you're working for could sponsor you, but you're working for them. So is there any way that you think that these partnerships can be more dynamic to really leverage the talents that the athletes have?
Okay, talking from my experience, I feel like they would rather see you like work for them for like a certain time frame, like Turner. Like for example, you can't just pull up, you can't just be there for like 6 months and expect them to throw money at you for like your talents and stuff like that. So I feel like if you're there for like a year or two and you build the connection, you know a little bit, you know management, you know the higher ups, and then they hear about you, and let's say week in, week out, you compete over the weekend, but you pull up to work on Monday, you do that for a while, they'll be like, hey, this guy's actually doing stuff, so let's see if we can sponsor him. But then I feel like fundamentally your job should, like your work at the job should like speak volumes, and then your work on the track should speak volumes. When that two come together, I feel like any corporation will sponsor their like worker to make it far, because I feel like it would help their branding as well. So,
and I'm going to counter everything you just said, because in the conversation that I had with Coach, so the main argument there was, you know, athletes need to knock, right? Why should I wait for my work to speak for itself when I can tell you and you can see based on the things that I've been able to accomplish, right? And I think there's an element of agency that needs to happen on the athlete's part as well in terms of getting these opportunities and really not detaching that athlete experience from the other environments that you're in, right? So right now, does your job know that you're training for the 2021 Olympics?
Yeah.
And perhaps it's a conversation that could be had about how can we actually really leverage the platform that I have and what I'm building to benefit, to be a mutually beneficial situation. And it's not a sponsorship like them throwing more money at you to train, but maybe there's some sort of flexibility or there's something that you may not be able to get otherwise, right? So I think that, yes, I agree that you should let your work speak for itself, but I also think that there needs to be a certain level of agency that's happening in making things happen for yourself, just like you do in the sport, right?
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know about like other sectors, but I feel like in corporate America, everything is strictly business. Like if it really?
I disagree.
Oh,
I disagree.
maybe I'm new to it. I need to text you.
The thing is, I disagree because I've been in corporate America. I've worked in different environments. I've worked in a law school. I've worked in different settings, right? And there's a way that you can tell your story that can be captivating. There's a way that you can make yourself a total package, right? And so for me at this point in my career, when people accept me, they're not just accepting me as Nadia Ike, the Columbia graduate, or Nadia Ike, the person that's worked in X, Y, and Z and done this. They're accepting me as every part of that and what comes with that, right? And what comes with me being an athlete is that I have experiences that people in my network may not, I mean, people in my work setting may not have. I have a network that people in my work setting may not have access to. And that's the value I bring beyond just having an Ivy League degree, beyond having work experience. I also have a complete world that you don't have access to that I can give you access to based on these experiences. And I think that it's important to be aware of that power that you have, right? And that brand that you have, and making sure that you're carrying that brand with you consistently, right? So before we do wrap up though, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. The last question I do have for you is that, and I ask everybody this, is there anything that you are, a secret talent that you have or something that people don't know about you that you think that they should know about you?
Ooh, that's a tall order. I play basketball. I feel like most people don't know that. They just think of me as Martin, the track and field athlete. But yeah, and I can swim. I feel like that's a secret. I can swim.
Okay, so so you play basketball, you can't swim.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I can beat you in basketball.
I've seen you shoot. It's not really impressive, but yeah.
I have a feeling. I can beat you in basketball. I wasn't just a track. I was actually a basketball player that turned into a track athlete. So I was getting recruited into college for basketball as well.
Really?
Yes. So.
hopefully we have some Ghana camp for the Olympics. And you and I definitely need to play some one-on-one then.
Yes, I can definitely. I have a feeling I might be able to beat you in basketball. But anyway, that's besides the point. Martin, it's been great having you here. Thank you so much. For taking the time and joining us today. Thank you to our audience. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. If you enjoy this conversation, please feel free to continue in the chat below. And anything else, catch us here next week for another episode. Until then, we'll see you later.
Thank you very much, Nadia. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.